Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Those of you here and those of you who are online. It is indeed a privilege for us to be able to come and worship as a family. It is an inspiration for us to be together, and it is our strength. Of course, we can participate online because of the current situation. But if we can able to come here in person and to be able to meet our brothers and sisters and to say hello in the name of our Lord and Savior, I think it is an added inspiration for us all. And it is our strength to just to see one another and say hello, how are you? And just give a pat. So let us continue to do so as often as we can. This is our home. God has placed us for a purpose, to encourage one another and strengthen one another and praise Him for what He has been doing. Last Sunday, we have heard of the glorious return of Christ. It was an inspiration. When I was thinking about glorious return of Christ, I have been keep reminding myself of my last visit to our dear Duggan Dalles. I think I have shared with you before, but I don't mind to share it again. As you know, Doug was our elder. And Duggan Dalles, he ministered in the Middle East almost entire their working life. And we, this little church, supported them. And whenever I meet Duggan Dalles, they always say the same thing. We are blessed by the East Kilo, and we are always grateful for the East Kilo. Whatever we were able to do in the strength of the Lord, it was by the support of the East Kilo Church. Last time when we met Duggan Dalles, just a few weeks ago, Doug is 96 years old at the moment, and Dalles is 94. They are very frail, very frail. Doug cannot see. Dalles cannot hear. Dalles is now almost thin and thin like bones, and she says she has a constant trouble with her stomach. But when you see them, it is what an inspiration, the way they encourage us, the way they pray for us. And Doug sits near the window all the time. And he tells me, you know, Dava, why I'm sitting here? The way the world is going on, Christ's return is coming very soon. And before that, His rapture is going to happen. It can happen any time. So I don't want to miss out. I'm just waiting. And he says, I'm ready. I am waiting. I don't care what is happening in this world, because I am just looking forward for that. What an inspiration to see them and visit them, and they are so grateful. So the last week, we were shared about the glorious return of Christ. But the fact is, until the Christ return, or until end of our life, we all face adversity. That's for sure. We don't like to talk about adversity. If we have a chance, we'd like to skip the thinking of adversity, but I want to let you know that is real. We are all going to face adversity one time or other until the Christ return. The reality of adversity is real. As believers, we can learn much and improve in responding to trials, calamities, and hardship of life, because that's going to be real until we see Christ face to face. The world in which we live is characterized by adversity. That happens right from the beginning. Adam and Eve. It continues on. Everywhere we look, there are disasters, tragedies, wars, trauma, misery, suffering, loss, and of course, COVID and Omicron, and something else is going to come. Is it not true? We are right in the middle. But whatever happens, when our view of adversity becomes up close and personal, that makes even more grim. When we talk about COVID right now, well, at the moment, Victoria, we have nearly close to 50,000 cases, yes. New South Wales, something about the close numbers. In the world, something else. We are sort of anxious, nervous, and we don't know where to go, where not to go. Are we doing the right thing or not doing the right thing? But when it happens to our personality, that makes even more frightening. That means if you lose some of our loved ones, for example, and for our own, for me and myself, my wife, we have lost the loved ones recently. They are in our thought. They are very close to us. And right now, we can't see our own son and grandchildren for the last 2 years. They are in Western Australia. We are not able to see our daughter and our grandson for the last 3 years. So it is becoming personal and personal. It's an adversity. But in spite of all the things going around, just the thought of glorious return of Christ, it sort of inspires us. In spite of what is happening around. And what is he trying to teach us through our difficulties? I mean, word. We have to watch out for false doctrine, because what I'm saying, trying to say is, adversity is real, but there are a lot of false doctrines are going around. If somebody tells, everything will be fine, just pray and it should be fine. Yes, we do pray, but God allows adversities for a reason. What we are going through now, there must be a reason. God is aware of it, and he's allowed these things to happen. Apostle Paul, thank you, Rita, for the well-read reading. Apostle Paul described various forms of adversity he has experienced in his service for Christ. He has been imprisoned, beatings, he faced beatings, shipwrecks, hunger, thirst, and many other dangers. When you think about it, why would the Lord allow Paul, the man who mostly instrumental in introducing the gospel, to suffer like this? However, it is something we all experience, not only Paul. Because we live in a fallen world filled with sin, and it is consequences. If we could, we would probably try to avoid anything that causes pain and sufferings. Who would like pain and sufferings? No one. Abraham is shaking his head. That's true. I agree with you. But then we would miss some of the best blessings. We will be blessed through adversity in life. From a human perspective, Paul's sufferings may seem unfair, but God used his hardships and pain to accomplish his will through Paul's suffering. During his imprisonment in Rome, in the jail, in the dark dungeon place, Paul was suffering without even food, and he was not sure about his own future. He wrote Book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians tells us the richness we have in our spirit, spiritual riches and spiritual blessings. Paul wrote, while he was in prison, in the middle of adversity, Book of Philippians. I think we all know the verse in Philippians chapter 4 and 4th verse. Rejoice in the Lord, and I say again, rejoice. Paul is saying, in the middle of adversity. And also we know the verse in the same book, 4th chapter, 13th verse. I can do everything in Christ who strengthens me. Paul says in the middle of adversity. And also in the same chapter, 4th chapter, 19th verse, Paul says, my God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. In the middle of adversity. Maybe Paul wouldn't have been able to say those verses if he was not facing the adversity. And of course he wrote Book of Colossians while he was in the prison. In that he was telling us preeminence of Christ. And he wrote a letter to Philemon, how we love one another and how we can accept even an enemy as our friend. And his letter to Philippians was filled with joy, just as I said, because he understood that through adversity, God accomplishes his divine purposes and works for our ultimate good. Adversity can be one of God's greatest blessings if we respond as Paul did in 2 Corinthians 12th chapter 7 to 10. Just Sister Rita read. Because Paul was entrusted with great revelations from the Lord, he was also given a painful thorn in the flesh to keep him humble. Paul pleaded 3 times to remove it, but he was told, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. For that, Paul responded humbly and quite correctly in saying, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that power of Christ may dwell in me. That's the Paul's response. Scriptures are filled with examples of people who faced adversity and on the other side of their experience discovered how God worked through their situation to bring about good. All these people would say that their suffering was worth the final results. So in the scripture, we can see many examples how people responded in the situation of their adversity. Paul and many others in the Old Testament, God used adversity to bring about good in us. Of course, we all know about Job. Job lost everything, his possessions, his family. He lost everything except his life. But we know how God used Job. Joseph experienced betrayal, slavery, imprisonment before becoming the second in command to Pharaoh. Moses was a fugitive in the wilderness before God appointed him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. David spent many years after he was being anointed running away from the king of Saul, King Saul, before he became Israel's most notable king. Of course, we do know about Esther, who was an exiled Jew until God elevated her to the position of the queen of Persia and used her to save his people. Ruth was a widow and in fact nobody before God elected her to be the forerunner for the birth of the Savior of humanity and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Daniel was captive in Babylon but promoted to the highest office next to the king. Jesus' disciples, all of them, suffered persecution. But God used them to spread gospel throughout the entire world. So adversity is real. And we all face it until the glorious return of Christ. What are the characteristics of adversity? Adversity is universal. Every one of us face adversity. It is everywhere and it can affect any area of our life. It is impartial because we live in a fallen world. Trouble comes to all of us, even believers. No matter of our financial or education status, doesn't matter. We all face adversity. It can be painful. The pain can be physical, emotional, or relational. It can come suddenly, like accidents, loss, negative medical reports, so on. It can be prolonged. And it can be intense. It is often beyond our control. During adversity, it is so natural we ask questions, don't we? The usual questions are why? Why we have to face adversity? Or another one is who? From whom the adversity coming from? We all know even Jesus Christ asked question. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me? Didn't Christ ask that question? We all do ask the question. The Lord is compassionate towards our pain and understands our limitations and understands our perspective and confusion. But he also knows, which we do not know at that time, that God always intends good through our adversities. And He always accomplishes something much, much better through our adversity, just as he did through the adversity he brought about temporarily on his own son. He allowed him to go all the way to the cross, so that he wanted to bring about far greater to save humanity. Sometimes God reveals his purpose through adversity, but often we may not understand the reason for a long time. Sometimes we may not understand why we are alive. When we are face to face with Christ, we will be thinking, yes, I had the adversity, then thank God that I am now like his son, Jesus Christ. However, in the meantime, as believers, we can trust him, knowing that he always works for our best. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, even in the middle of adversity, to those who are called according to his purpose. So it's natural we all ask why. Jesus Christ asked as well. Another question we ask is who? From whom we are getting this adversity? Usually there are three possibilities from whom. You may not agree with me. Most of our adversities are caused by ourselves. God has established a principle of sowing and reaping. You reap, I reap what I sow. Is it not true? So if we sow something good, we always reap good, much more than what we have sown. But if we sow bad, get ready, you are going to reap bad in your life, much more. So we got to be watchful about that. So sometimes our adversities are because of our own nature and what we do. Second thing is, our adversity is because of Satan. He doesn't like believers at all. So we always want to be watchful that we can be trapped into adversity because of Satan. Thirdly, most importantly, our adversity can be from God himself. The Lord is sovereign and he controls all adversity in our life. If he allows us to go through the pain and suffering or loss, then he has something good planned for us. He wants to accomplish in and through us something good he has planned through our life. When the Apostle Paul understood that his thorn in the flesh was designed to keep him humble and dependent on Christ, he was able to say, Paul, when he recognized that, Paul's response was, most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast my weaknesses so that power of Christ may dwell in me. That's Paul's response. How do we normally respond when we are in the middle of adversity? As humans, because of our weaknesses, when we are in the middle of adversity, we always blame somebody else. we never think about ourselves. And we try to escape through temporary means. That's like alcohol, drugs, or indulge in immoral practices. These only complicate our lives and lead to more problems. Sometimes we deny, even though we go through adversity, we pretend as though everything is hunky-dory. Fine. It will cause internal suffering and more danger. Sometimes self-pity, it never accomplishes anything positive. It simply displays an unwillingness to take responsibility for our situation and our response to it. Finally, and correctly, our response in adversity has to be seeking God in the middle of adversity. We ought to come to the Lord with our confusion and pain, asking Him to help. God doesn't take delight in our suffering, but wants to achieve what is best for us in spite of our sufferings. During the middle of adversity, there are principles which can help us. If we are confident of Lord's love for us and understand how He uses adversity in our lives, we will be able to trust Him and respond in a way that benefits us. Adversity is one of God's most effective tools for our strengthening our faith. If we focus on the ways He is working within us and enabling to endure affliction, our trust in Him will grow, even if our circumstances may remain the same. Our circumstances may not change, but God will enable us to go through the adversity, and He will give us strength to go through the situation we are in. End of the day, we will be able to say, "How great Thou art." God's purposes for allowing pain is to achieve something good. He may be trying to correct us or produce godly character in us, just as in case of Paul. God protected him, Paul, from pride and taught him to depend on Christ Himself. God is always with us, even in the middle of our adversities. He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But in the Bible, it will never say that you will never face adversity. In the Bible, it will never say you will never face pain or sufferings. But one thing it says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," even in the middle of our adversities. God is always with us. We may not feel His presence, but He has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Yes. As believers, we have been united with Christ, and His Spirit dwells within us. Holy Spirit is always within us, and it tells us, inspires us, convicts us, strengthens us, tells us what to do and what not to do. It's always with us as believers. Adversity can be a precious gift from the Lord. Pain and hardship are the instruments He often uses to correct our thinking, turn us around, and guide us onto His path when we are not in His path. Do we have a guidebook to go through adversity? Yes, we do. And you all agree with me, it is the Word of God itself. We need not have to go anywhere. Just spend time and seeing the Word of God, what it says. The Word of God shows us how to walk through the times of adversity. Word of God never tells that you will never go through adversity, but it tells us how we can go through adversity. It reminds us of His law, tells us about His purposes for trials, encourages to endure, and strengthen us in the process adversity. Primary reason we struggle in adversity and give into despair and hopelessness is mostly the ignorance of the scriptures, ignorance of the Word of God. The Lord wants us to help us and direct us through affliction, but we must open His Word to receive His guidance and comfort and assurance. So we all go through adversity for sure, but when we are in the middle of adversity, what we can go through is the Word of God. Open the Word of God, and there are thousands of instructions in the Word of God. Only we can go through and open it. And it is a treasure in the time of adversity. We just have to open it and grasp it. Of course, some of the words we all know, the famous ones. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the Word of God, psalmist says, "It is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." But also we can read in Psalm 119 again, verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction." Psalmist talks about the Word of God. And the famous, my personal famous verse in the Bible is Isaiah 43:2. Verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you, for I am the Lord your God." And another verse, in Isaiah 49, verse 15 to 16 says, please pay your attention. It says, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely, Word of God, even they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palm of my hand." It doesn't say, "I have written you in the palm of my hand." It says, "I have inscribed you." That means that will never go away. "In the palm of my hand." We have been inscribed in the palm of God's hand. Yet, in all things, Word of God says, Romans 8:37, "We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." What an inspiration, the Word of God. In the time of our adversity, we are all going to face. Adversity, my brothers and sisters, is real. We are all going to face. Either it's a pain, suffering, loss, or emotional, or relational separations. We are all going to face. But we all can face it, no matter what the adversity may be. when we are well equipped with the Word of God and trusting in Him, who is going to be with us always, and He will never fail us. And He will use our adversity for our good to accomplish His purposes through our adversity. And we are all waiting with great anticipation and expectation for the glorious return of Christ. But until now, until that time, we are all going to face adversity. But we will go through, because our God is real, He is faithful, and He is going to be with us through our adversity, and He will lead us through, and we can face them with confidence, knowing all the adversities are for our good, as long as they are not self-inflicted ones. Our God is going to be with us. We thank God for His word. I hope.